This is a really cool question. This is something that's really starting to come up a lot. Joe's question, what are your thoughts on front of center error for better pass?
Up here in Union Parish, I got a friend that he's probably mad at me for saying what he uses, but look, he's a bread guy, right? He's got a bread route. And old Billy Don said, that there's 150 inches. Okay, Billy Don, ain't nobody a pitcher score. Okay, ain't nobody a certified pitcher score. Billy Don ain't a certified pitcher score.
Come on, get you some of it.
What's up, guys? What we're going to do tonight, man, I'm just going to do something freestyle. I didn't have a guest line. Well, I had a guest lined up, but she got sick, so we weren't going to be able to get it in. But I talked to my buddy Jordy this morning. I'm sitting there, man. I'm like, you know what, dude? I said, what if I answered some of these questions I see on these Facebook pages, like these hunting pages, man? You know, people have a question, and they'll get a bunch of answers. Well, I can give my answer right here. So Jordy thought, he said, man, that'd be a great idea. Plus, if you remember, years ago, we had a thing called Bayou Bucks Magazine. We had a thing in the back called Idiots of the Outdoors. I found one. And I want to talk about it. Something that happened last week, maybe, down South Louisiana, I believe it's Vermilion Parish. So hang in there. We're going to get to that in just a second. But what I want to do right now is I just want to answer a few questions that I found on social media that I thought were really good. One of them, this one. Oh, so if you know who I'm talking about, tag them or tell them, hey, you need to go check out this podcast. This guy talked about the question you asked. I'm not going to name the page, but I will talk about the question. So Jamie Ray Franklin. This was a really good question from Jamie Ray Franklin. I'm sure this has been posted a lot, but I wasn't about to go scroll for 2 hours. Girl, I understand that. Look, I ain't going to scroll them pages. I'll ask a question in a minute. But I guess it's a girl. It might be a dude. But she spells Ray like R-A-E, so that's a chick, right? Okay. I have a buck on camera that I didn't see on any of my cameras last year, and he's now my target buck. I've always just stuck with corn. But what are y'all's go-to supplements for maintaining and keeping them drawn in? Okay. So, look, Jamie, corn's great. Rice bran's great. Any flavored stuff. But the problem with flavored stuff, I found it, is if you throw out the flavored stuff, you're going to get the hogs, okay? Up here in Union Parish, I got a friend that he's probably mad at me for saying what he uses. But look, he's a bread guy, right? He's got a bread route. And when you run a bread route, you come across every so often old stock, out-of-date stock. So my buddy actually uses corn tortillas. God's honest truth. Corn tortillas. And let me tell you, we've got pictures of deer he's got pictures of deer. It looks like they got dadgum Frisbees in their mouth. Because these corn tortillas, you know, they're stale. So every so often you'll catch one that's got a little droop to it, but they're just... And you'll go out, he'll post trail camera pictures, there'll be freaking tortillas all over his shooting lane or all over where he's got his deer coming in. So there's your tip, corn tortillas, okay? Also, I want you to understand this, Jamie. Years ago, my dad had a deer coming in, and, I mean, he was fired up about this deer. Big, I think the deer ended up scoring 140-something, it's right at 140. Real nice deer for our area. So dad's got this deer on camera. He's after him hot and heavy. And then finally, I was on social media one morning. It was a weekday morning. Beautiful bluebird day. I think a storm front had pushed through a couple of days before. Beautiful. I'll never forget. It was a gorgeous day. And guy killed that deer that morning. And my dad was just distraught, down in the dumps, just upset. Come to find out, they actually started asking around. That deer was on cameras within a 5-mile radius. They took it, plotted it out. It was roughly around 5 miles. That deer was here, there, yonder, here, there. And when I told my dad that, he said, you know, he just kind of got down and dejected. He felt like, he said, I feel like my wife done cheated on me. So, look, I tell you that story to tell you this. You better get in there October 1st. It's, you know, October, early October, they're going to be there. He's going to be there until the na-na or the ya-ya, whatever you want to call it, draws him off. But that's no guarantee he's not making rounds to other deer hunters. So, you better get in there October 1st. Hope you get him. All right, let's move on. Next one. This is Joe Carter. This is a really cool question. This is something that's really starting to come up a lot. Joe's question, what are your thoughts on front of center errors for better pass? Or he said FOC. And then this dude named Curtis said, what's the FOC? I don't blame you, Curtis. I didn't know what FOC errors were prior to this spring. I take that back. I'd heard of them. I really hadn't messed with them much. Front of center, where you put your weight on the very front of your arrow. I started shooting these. I was going to the Total Archery Challenge in Oklahoma. I needed some arrows. My guy that cuts my arrows for me in Monroe went to Lathan, and Lathan's like, hey, man, I need to get you on some carbons. I'd always shot full metal jackets for a long time. I love them, tried and true. You know, no big issues with them. But Lathan's like, man, I got to get you on carbon. I said, why do I need to shoot carbon? He said, because you don't love it. Just try these. So I bought some Victory arrows, and I noticed they were really fat on the front. What the heck is he? He says, same grain, it'll be okay. And it does. They fly pretty similar. I've got to put a new sight tape because I'm maybe it's in my brain, maybe it's not. I just don't think they're flying the same as the – I think they're a little hotter. I think they got a little bit more distance out when I get way on out than what my Eastons have. But that does not have anything to do with the front of center, but this is where it comes into play, Joe. The front of center carries more – it's got more kinetic energy, and when it hits, because – I mean, it's hitting. When I shoot that block target I've got, it's that fuck. I mean, it's hitting. When I've got a bag target, roughly about 96 yards from where I stand and shoot. And when I hit, there's no doubt about it. I mean, it's a distinct whop. Now, when I go to retrieve my arrows, I'm going to have to start shooting my dad's crossbow target. This block won't hold it. Now, the block, true, is 3 years old. I've shot the fire out of it, but my Easton's will be this much out the front, and the Victories with the front of center are going to be this much out the back. So it definitely is going to give you more penetration. Now, people, I have seen people say at Louisiana Whitetails, it's not needed. Neither is a 7mm Magnum. Okay. But it helps. Okay. It's like that dude I can't remember where it's at, but he's a mechanic. He said, yeah, you don't need it, but it helps. It helps. It helps get that pass through. If you hit that deer in that shoulder, it's going to help push it through. If you've got a fixed blade broadhead, there's no doubt you'll get a pass through. Mechanicals. I'm excited. I shoot a mechanical. All right. You get mad at me if you want to. I don't care. I shoot a 3-blade mechanical dead meat. I need to shoot the mega meat. Probably start shooting that this year. But I've got confidence now with this front and center that I've got a good chance of going through the shoulder. Am I shooting for the shoulder? Absolutely not. I want to sneak it in Love Shack right behind that shoulder. But should I do whatever and hit him in the shoulder? I got a good chance for penetration, maybe even pass through to come out the other side. So that's what the front and centers do, Joe. They give you a little bit more on the front. Look into them, man. Grab your one, take it down, go to your shop, grab one, shoot it, see what you think. You know, there's a lot of juice that's been, Kool-Aid, drinking the Kool-Aid. I drank the Kool-Aid on some of that stuff last year. I got burnt. That's why I got back on mechanicals. Front of center front of center arrows, I think, are not, it ain't Kool-Aid, baby. That's legit. That's some good stuff, I think, personally. Now, I may be wrong. Next year, I may be singing a different tale, but who knows? Let's go to the next one. Keith Hawes. Here you go. This is a good one. I think I'm saying it right. Hawes, Hawes. Anyone try alfalfa pellets? I've tried them. I've tried the pellets. I've tried the bales. And be honest with you, man, my deer didn't touch them. Now, I don't know. I'm thinking maybe because it's not native, not natural. You know, we don't have a lot of alfalfa fields where I hunt. So the deer kind of look at it. Of course, we don't have rice bran fields either, but they tear that mess up. But the alfalfa, they didn't touch it. I'll tell you this. Maybe, I don't know what. I went up Thomas Nursery here in Farmerville, Louisiana. If you haven't been to Thomas, you need to go. Great place, great people. Went up there several years ago, man. I probably was one of the first people ever tried rice bran up here because I had friends in South Louisiana was telling me what it was. And I was throwing out rice bran. It was still like $2 or $3 a sack, 50 pounds. Now, good Lord, it's higher than corn. But I've tried it all, my brother. And alfalfa, I never really had a lot of luck at it. I attracted the rabbits. They loved it. When I cut into that bale, my God, you'd have thought I cut into a bale of marijuana. I'm serious, man. That stuff smelled. I was like, holy crap, man. I was kind of like, oh, I don't know about this. But that smell was so different. I can't help but think that may be why I didn't have good luck. Now, I haven't checked the comments on there. I don't know. Somebody else may have had some luck out of it. But I personally have not had any luck out of the alfalfa. Now, I'm sure if you plant it, it may be a little different. But, you know, coming out of that bale with that strong, strong scent, I think that may have messed it up a little bit for me. Let's see what else we got. Here you go. Rick David posted this. It was a share from somebody named Jesse McNally. I checked on this. This is God. This is true. I checked with Leslie Green up here. She's a rehabilitator, wildlife rehab person up here. And if you don't know, if you aren't following Leslie Green and her rehab people, man, let me tell you, you're really, really, really missing out. She had beavers, rehab some beavers, the cutest thing you ever want to see. She's done raccoons. When you go to watch the Guardians of the Galaxy, when you went and watched it this year, the raccoon sounds, baby, that's Union Parish raccoon noise, okay? Yeah, she contracted with some video, and they got the coons on there making coon noises. So yeah, Leslie's got a great thing. So I checked with Leslie. This is absolutely true. People that call rehabs are concerned whether or not they should bring a found fawn that can look like this. People finding fawns, this addresses to you. The first question is to look at the ears. And when I saw the picture, I was like, something's wrong with them ears, but they are. Are they straight or are they crumpled? And when you look at the picture, the little deer's ears are all crumpled up on the ends. I thought it was the coolest thing. If they're straight and the deer was laying down or standing up, that's what you want to ask. If it's straight, was the deer laying down or standing up? This year, every deer we have taken in has looked like this. The ears are crumpled and the deer was standing and crying. The crumpled ear tips means that the fawn is dehydrated and the mom is gone and that baby needs help. And I asked Leslie, let me tell you what Leslie's response was. I got it right here. I said, Leslie, is this legit? She said, yes, it's true, not only for deer, but for several species of wildlife. It's one of many ways we determine the level of dehydration. When the ears have that crinkled appearance, it means that it's severe dehydration and the animal will not last much longer unless treated. So you run across a little one, the ears look great, they look normal, leave it be. Leave it be, okay? Now, if them ears look crumpled up, and I'm serious, it looks like you took the little tips and just kind of wadded them up on the ear, they look blunt, hey, that baby's in bind. Go call the wildlife and fisheries, let them know what you've got, and get that baby some help. You know, you're just like me, I'm sure. I'm getting soft-hearted in my old age, and it bothers me when I see little animals. And I don't know, let's see if you can see. You see, let me get a little closer. You might can see how the ears are a little crumpled. But I'm soft toward animals, and, you know, I see one, and I really get a little, I want to help. You want to help. It's just natural. I was out watering my flowers the other day. Yeah, I'm a straight dude and I'm watering flowers. I love my flowers, okay? Just dry. So spraying these flowers out, and I thought I could hear one down in my field down there squalling. I wanted to go help. But the hunter in me knows mama ain't very far off. I got a mama with twins out here, and I probably one of them twins done got separated from her. He probably done acted a fool. She kicked him to the side. So, hey, just take an assessment before you take these babies in. All right, next one. Brandon McCullum, McCullum. Here you go, Brandon. He's got some really nice deer in the picture. And I answered this, but I'll be honest with you, it's hard. What do y'all think about the age and the score? Before y'all say yes, I'm going to take an opportunity if I get it, no matter what y'all say, because it's a big deer. So he's asking for a deer score. I'm an official Buckmaster score. Okay. You may have seen the other videos that I did on how to score a deer. And I will tell you this. I'm not an official picture scorer. Nobody is an official picture scorer, especially when you got velvet on. So when you ask for suggestions or when you ask for what do you think this deer scores, don't take them to heart. You're going to get ranges from 170 to 110. What you have to do, and kind of like what Brandon did, he already made the mind of he's going to shoot the deer. He was just curious about what the deer might score. Okay, that's what you don't go off. Are you going to take that animal? Or are you not going to take that animal off somebody else's opinion? All right, make sure you're taking these animals for that you want to do it. Don't do it because old Joe Blow said, oh, Billy Don said, that deer's 150 inches. Okay, Billy Don, ain't nobody a picture scorer. Okay, nobody a certified picture scorer. Billy Don ain't a certified picture scorer. Shoot whatever you want to, man, okay? If it ain't breaking club laws or state rules and you happy with it, take it. That's my rule. That's what I say. All right, let's move on. All right, here we go. Here's a good one. Let's talk about meat. I have a doe who has fawns and another doe who always has one fawn. I refuse to take either of them because they produced every year. This comes from Brian Holloway. This is a great question with an unbelievable answer that I love. Never heard it, but I love it. It sounds legit. Okay, so he's got two does. Both of them are producing fawns. He don't want to shoot them. So, all right. I refuse to take either of them as they produce. This set is from 2021, and this year they're both with her. I plan on taking one doe and one buck off my property at my house. Would you guys shoot an older doe or target one of these 2.5-year-old twins who've been supplemental raised? I'm leaning towards taking one of the twins for meat and letting the older doe continue to produce. Great question, Brian. I answered that. I mean, I ask that all the time. Do I want to shoot a doe that's producing? I got a doe right here. It's throwing twins at the house. I could take that doe out. I know I could take her out October 1st, but she's throwing twins. Do I want to take her out? I'm leaning towards no. I'm not going to. But James W. Teer, T-E-E-R, out. If you know that guy, tell him I said this is a great answer to that question. Should Brian take one of those doe? Here it is. A&M did a study that showed that taking a doe who had a buck fawn would allow that buck to stay in his original home because his mother was gone. In contrast, those buck fawns whose mothers lived would leave and find a new home range before its first rut and never return. For the past 10 years, we've only killed does that had thrown button bucks with her during the season. So only on James's place, they've been targeting does that carried button bucks. 10 years ago, we saw very few bucks and mostly does. Now we see tons of bucks every hunt along with the does. At the same time, we don't shoot young bucks. We also have some really nice bucks. Outstanding answer. And it makes sense. So this is what happens to those of you who may not know. When a doe throws a buck, okay, little button buck, when that buck gets a little older, she's going to run him off. She's going to run him off to prevent inbreeding, to prevent him from trying to mount her and cause an inbreeding. That's just nature, okay? That's just nature's way of keeping inbreeding happening. You got to go. She sends the buck off by himself. A lot of times you will see if you see a solo deer come in at dusk dark, solo deer comes in, a lot of times that's going to be a spike buck because he's going to be by himself because he doesn't have anybody, okay? That's a spike buck by himself. Little deer, going to be a button buck, spike buck, young buck. But if you kill that mama before she has a chance to kick him out, there ain't nobody left to run him off. And he's going to stay right there. That's what he said. Makes sense to me. I love that answer. Great answer. Something, food for thought, man. And there's another guy down here, Brian. Oh, it is Brian. Brian's down here, and he said, I'd have to read into that study because he wants to, and that's great. You know, read into it a little bit more, but it makes good sense to me. I can understand. Now, you're like, well, he's going to have sisters. But he ain't going to have blood sisters. Like 100%, maybe half and half. And I'm sure that goes on a lot. You know, you're probably going to have deer out there that are breeding that have some sort of relation. You know, they're not like they're moving out of state. Okay. They're not too terribly far away. All right, let's move on. Eddie Jellum, I guess I said Jay Eat. Man, I'm telling you, I'm boogering up these last names. Does anyone have any acorns? None on my land. Eddie, let me tell you something, baby. When we have a drought like this and fruit-bearing trees get stressed like the acorn trees are on right now, they're going to drop early because they're going to drop. Anything they made in the spring, in the summer, they're going to drop it. That's a way of survival. They got to get rid of that fruit. So probably don't have any acorns because of the drought. I know last year we had a hell of an acorn crop. This year, I really, really, really anticipate not having much of an acorn crop because the trees were stressed. When it gets, like I said before, when they get stressed, they're going to drop the acorns early. So I anticipate, this is just me looking into my crystal ball, I anticipate some really, really big deer being killed this year over bait because ain't gonna be much left in the woods. Yeah, it's gonna be by the time it's getting to the late season now. We're in September. Not much is gonna be growing. You can plant a food plot. You can plant. You're gonna have your corn. You're gonna have your rice bran. You're gonna have your tortillas. Okay, but I anticipate not a whole lot of acorns because of the drought. So get your corn rice brand ready, y'all, because that's what we're going to have to be shooting over. So let's move on to the next one. Okay, that's the last one. Now let's go to something I like. This is going to be the Idiots of the Outdoors. And what I do is I went and I found this article in the Wildlife and Fisheries. Agents cite two men for deer hunting violations in Vermilion Parish, September the 5th, 2023. That happened today. Yesterday. All right, here we go. I'm going to read this to you. The Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Enforcement Agent cited two men for alleged deer hunting violations in Vermilion Parish on September the 1st. Okay? I'm not going to name their names. The agent cited person one from Abbeville for deer hunting during closed season, failing to tag the deer, failing to validate the deer, failing to comply with the harvest card, and hunting without a basic license and deer hunting license. Jeez, they threw everything. First off, how are you going to hang somebody with failing to validate, failing to tag, and failing to comply when he killed it illegal? Maybe they're just throwing everything they can at him. I don't know. All right, so here we go. Agents also cited person number two from Kaplan for possession of an illegally taken deer and an untagged deer. So right now, when I read it the first time, I was like, oh, okay, first dude shot it. Second dude was just there. Okay, second dude was with him. No. The agents received information about an illegally taken deer near Cuz Road. I love that word, Cuz. If I lived on a road, that'd be the road I lived on, Cuz. Cuz Road in Forked Island near Abbeville. After further investigations, the agent determined that a 10-point deer was taken on August the 23rd with a .308 rifle by person number one. So, August the 23rd, this dude goes out there and shoots his deer. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. They got a deer in the photograph. If it's the deer in question, which it looks like a 10-point, it's about a 110-inch deer. These dudes killed about 110-inch 10-point in August. Come on, man. What in the world? Now, this is where it really gets screwed up. All right. Let's see. After further investigation, okay, so we did all this. Person number two, after dude number one shot it, person number two retrieved the deer for person number one and then took it to the house. So this is my question, person number two. What in the world are you even getting involved in this? Bruh, what if somebody say, hey, dude, I went out there and I shot that deer. Why don't you go out there and get it for me? Yeah, man, I think that's a good idea. Dude, come on, man. What are we thinking? The agent sees the deer head and the antlers. Rifle season for deer in this area doesn't open until October the 21st. They shot this deer 2 months early. Now, and the reason I'm thinking that this picture, surely this picture ain't the same deer because this deer is hard horned. So that's why I'm thinking maybe the deer in the picture isn't the deer. I don't know. Maybe it is. It's a 10-point. It's a little bitty rascal. Let me show y'all. I'm going to turn around and show y'all. Look at that. Hold on. Let me get one. Look at that. Little bitty dude. So, good lands of living. Folks in this world. I hope you guys enjoyed this one, man. Just something freestyle. Just something off the cuff. I think I've done 22 minutes about what I wanted to do, about 20 minutes. I hope we answered a few questions. If you see some stuff you want me to shoot to do, man, get with me. Shoot me up on Facebook. Greg Hicks. That's me. Antlers and Hicks. Leave me a comment on YouTube. Whatever, man. If you got some more questions like this, you want me to do another podcast on, light it up, because that's what I'm here for, man. I'm here for you guys. So, hope you guys enjoyed this one. And I used to end them with this. I'm going to start ending all of them with this. This is Greg Hicks, the Antlers and Hicks podcast, encouraging you to live your life past 20 yards. We'll see you guys next time.